950 KMAN.
And we're back here on In Focus on this Friday morning. Brandon Peoples, Dave Lewis. We've got Greg Eystone from K-State Research and Extension joining us here this morning. Thanks for being here.
It's my pleasure.
Always glad to have you out here. And springtime is right upon us here. We were talking a little bit about we've had a little bit of rain, had a little sunshine. It's starting to feel much more seasonal.
Yes, things are really starting to perk up. Most of the trees are leafing out now, and if we get a little rain, if Dave promises that, it would really shoot up, and that would be good for us.
Very good. Well, let's talk a little bit about, we'll start on the bottom of your list here, the pre-emergence. What are we seeing here right now?
Yeah, so out in my area, which is a little bit out in the country, the red buds are in full bloom right now, which indicates that pre-emergent is definitely need to be put down. If that's of concern to you, the pre-emergent is going to keep our summer annual weeds from getting a foothold in our lawns and maybe in our landscapes as well. So are there products that you can put in your flower beds and things like that? So now's the time to do it, basically, is what I'm saying. We do have chemistry that allows you for a longer window of opportunity, mostly developed for commercial companies, but it is available for homeowners. So a name brand is Dimension, which actually does control a little bit of a young growing crabgrass foxtail plant. Most of the pre-emergent, what it does is it damages the root as a seedling starts to develop. And so if you already have it developed, the pre-emergence doesn't do any effect on it, but the Dimension product does kill young seedlings. And the nice thing about chemistry and new technologies is we do now have a post-emergent crabgrass foxtail management tool. And so if you don't get it on now and you don't want to use it and just kind of try your luck and see where maybe some of your weeds start to come up this spring, summer. There's products out there. Quinclorac is the chemical that's typically used for existing growing crabgrass, foxtail, and some other annual weeds that either missed the pre-emergent, didn't affect them, or you didn't put it down and you have this other option. So we do have lots of options for weed management. Weeds do serve a purpose. They do hold our soil in place, and so it's always good to have cover over our soil so we don't lose it, whether it be to one of our storms, moisture, or wind blowing that soil, that resource away. So they do serve a purpose, but they may not be something that you really want to have in your landscape.
Well, yeah, and I've noticed myself in my yard, we've got a lot of dandelions, and I don't own my property. I rent, but there's so many in my neighborhood and dandelions. They just seem to always reappear. Is this that time of year when you really start to see them?
That's when people notice because they're starting to flower. But they mostly germinate in the fall, although they're a short-lived perennial. So they will be there for a few years once they get established, unless you do something for them. This time of the year, there's always if you have a few, you can always pull them out. Cultivate them out of the lawn. That's probably the most effective way, quick way of doing it. But a lot of people are probably using little spot sprays of some herbicides on those, and you can. We see, as far as research, we know that right after full bloom, they're a little more susceptible, but that means they've already produced their weed seeds and are blowing around in the wind. But like you say, and I'm a culprit myself. I don't control my dandelions, so I have quite a few, and so they're going to come in no matter what. So if you're looking for a dandelion-free lawn, the best way is to have a good, healthy stand of grass. And so we do most of this cultural practices in the fall, doing some overseeding to thicken that up so that there is no place for the weeds to grow, whether it be dandelions. We see henbit is the purple flower out there that's blooming like crazy. We have speedwell. We have chickweed, smaller flowers, maybe not as noticed. But those are all, those last ones are what we call winter annuals. And so as soon as it gets hot, those will pretty much dry up and go away. So treating them now makes people feel good that they're doing something for it, but they're going to hit and dry up and die once we get a little bit hotter. So makes you feel good, but it's, guess, not really necessary to control those weeds at this time.
Gotcha. What are some good things people could be planting right now if they want to get out, maybe in their yards, in their garden?
Yeah, so we're almost done with our cool season plantings, whether that be broccoli and potatoes and peas and those kind of things. Those should have been in the ground already. We've had kind of a strange spring. I guess maybe we'll always have a strange spring where it's been a little cooler than sometimes, maybe a little hotter, different periods. Right now we need some moisture. If you've done some planting, we're not getting some natural rainfall, so it'd be a good idea to maybe this weekend give it a little extra water. We don't have to water as deeply as we like to suggest usually, as we have young plants. So their root systems aren't that deep yet, but as the season progresses, we like to say 1 inch of water per week, actually within a 24-hour period to get a nice soaking of the soil profile. But that's when your plant roots have gone down a foot or so, so that may be a while. So we're looking probably now, people are excited about tomatoes and maybe peppers and the melons and the sweet corn and those things. And soil temperature is really the key for when we should plant those things. I looked last week, we're at 54 degrees. That's just at the edge of planting season. Typically these warm season crops, and we need a soil temperature of 55 or greater. For melons would even be better, 60, 65. So we're still early on that. But I know people like to get their tomatoes out early. I think it's just makes you feel good. The plants really don't really respond until the temperatures get warmer. So usually mid-May would be a time to plant maybe your tomatoes and peppers. Although they're related to tomatoes, they really like a much warmer temperature. So we usually wait a couple weeks later for your peppers. The situation with planting peppers too early is they'll start to get established. They may start to bloom, but it's still too early for them. They don't pollinate. They don't produce peppers, and then they kind of go into a resting stage, and you've kind of set your harvest back a little bit. You'll get plenty at the end of the season, but you usually want some earlier in the season. And so if you can wait on the peppers, you'll have more production early. Sounds kind of strange, but that's the way it works.
That would never be a problem in my house. We don't, my wife, all of us, we were not really big fans of peppers. They're beautiful. I love seeing them in the garden. Just not something that's going to be consumed in my household. But that's very interesting here. You also have here a fruit tree care. What should people be doing with their fruit trees at this time?
Yeah, I think we've gotten past most of our spring frost that may have damaged some of our fruit crops. Knock on wood, hold our fingers crossed that we don't get back down cold to freeze some of those. But so far, so good. My apricot and my peaches, and those are kind of the ones that are the most sensitive, are looking okay. So now we're looking at pest management, because unfortunately, you can't just plant it and go out there and harvest and expect to get a lot of crop or anything to enjoy to eat. And so we're looking at a fruit tree schedule of spraying them to protect them from some fungus, and also some of our insects that are really, they like the fruit as much as we do. And so as soon as we have full petal drop, that's when we start thinking about putting on our products. They're kind of basically a protective. As far as the insecticide, you put it on to kill any eggs that might get laid on the fruit and kill it before it actually, well, once it starts to hatch, before it burrows into your fruit. Coddling moth is our most common insect pest on our apples and maybe on pears as well. Our peach trees, we may have some brown rot, which is a fungus, so you use a fungicide in that fruit tree spray. And we also have oriental fruit moth, which would be, again, burrow into your fruit and cause damage. And so we put those on so we protect the tissue so that it doesn't get damaged. And those products don't last a season, so you're going to have to make repeated applications. Usually we say 2 weeks, but it kind of depends on rainfall, which dilutes it, and sunshine and things like that. But typically, if you can put on about every 2 weeks until harvest, you'll get a much better crop than if you just try to let nature run its course, because we do have the insect pressures. Shortly, if we get a rain, we'll probably see the cedar apple rust. The cedar trees will turn orange with their spores, and those go to susceptible apples. And so to prevent that, we put on a fungicide on the leaf tissue in particular, but also a little bit on the fruit itself. And so that product, luckily, doesn't, you don't have to put it on till harvest. That's usually till Memorial weekend, and the cedar apple rust has kind of ran its course at that point.
Okay. We're talking with K-State Research and Extension Agent Greg Eyestone here, joining us on In Focus. A couple of activities coming up here. Nothing this weekend with Easter, I guess, but next weekend we got another holiday coming up.
Yeah, we'll talk about Arbor Day, which is on next Friday, April 26th. So that's Kansas has designated that as our holiday, as well as it's a national Arbor Day, but each state can determine when's the best season to be planting your trees. And so just want to bring that to attention, that trees do serve lots of purposes in our landscapes and in our communities, and just a day to reflect and maybe go out and plant a tree or plant one around the time. Typically, we'd plant them here in April just because it's a little cool, the trees can get established a little bit sooner than once we get into the hot part of the summer where there's more stress as far as planting is concerned. But hopefully people can just appreciate the trees around them. And if you want to plant a tree, we have information on how to plant and also different varieties that may be good for our landscape. People always want to plant the red maple tree. And that can work in low-lying areas, well-established areas that block some of the wind. But we have a few of those places here in the Manhattan-Raleigh County area, but a lot of us have upland area and kind of wide-open spaces. And those thin-bark type of trees, such as red maples, struggle. You'll see damage on the south-southwest side, which that kills the cells, and then your tree kind of struggles. And we have better selections. I know that people love the red fall color that those provide, but there are other trees that do that as well, which are more adapted for our growing conditions.
I was like the pine trees myself. I think those are the most fun ones to plant.
But. Pine trees, Kansas. Kansas is a grass state, so yeah. I always recommend grasses, whether it be the ornamental grasses particularly. But, yeah, people like some evergreens, and we just have a little challenge with that. Mm-hmm. We do have a publication that talks about the pros and cons of different evergreens, pines in particular. We do like to have some of that greenery out there in the landscape. Obviously, the eastern red cedar is well adapted to our environment, but sometimes we want some other choices too.
Yeah. What about this Zoo Earth Day coming up?
Yeah, the Master Gardeners will be at the Sunset Zoos for their Earth Day. I believe they call it Party for the Planet, and that's from noon to 4:30 on Saturday the 27th. As far as the Master Gardeners are concerned, we have a butterfly habitat that we've established there at the zoo. It's been there for probably 25 years or so. Keeps being revamped and managed because gardens do change over time. But as far as the Master Gardeners, they'll have a station there with many activities going on. One thing, the butterfly habitat is to encourage people to go ahead and establish some in their own areas if they can. We continue to develop like any community, and so those natural habitats get taken out and buildings put up, parking lots and those things. And then hopefully once that's established, we go back in and do some landscaping and provide some habitat for our neighbors, in this case butterflies and insects and things like that. So they do have some free plants to distribute for those participating until the supply runs out. I know they have some milkweed, which is the most common plant for butterflies, particularly the monarch, of course, and some other plants, some annuals like parsley, maybe some dill, which may be a short-lived perennial, so that you can plant that in your landscape and encourage some feeding for local butterflies. So they have that station. We also have information on the monarch flight that they take, the migration, so to speak. So that information is available. We have things for kids, of course. There's some coloring and some butterfly tattoos. They also get into some origami, making of butterflies out of paper. Depending on weather conditions and things, we've had our somewhat related, our red wiggler worms there for people to see, and they can do some composting in-house. And so the Master Gardeners will be there from noon to 4:30 and talking butterfly habitat and butterflies. And so if that's an opportunity for you to get out and enjoy the day. We'll hope for good weather. We have a lot of materials left over from last year. I think last year might have been in the 30s as the high for the temperature, so there wasn't a lot of participation, which is understandable. So on average, we should have a really good day this year, so the weather should cooperate, I think.
All right. Sounds good. It's always fun to learn about butterflies. Thanks so much, Greg, for being here, and we'll talk to you again next time.
My pleasure, Brandon. Have a good week.
All right. Greg Istone joining us here on In Focus. Stay tuned. We'll talk Riley County Senior Service Center next on In Focus.
The KMN Morning Show is brought to you by ESB Financial. Start saving.